Everybody made it out of the tornadoes of 2017. Anybody have any like crazy house damage? Nothing too bad. Heard Bellevue got hit pretty hard. No one in Bellevue, right? If you're driving from Bellevue to Valley, then that's commitment. So hopefully no one got hit too hard. Well, today we're going to be in the book of Genesis. So if you get a chance, turn to Genesis 12. I'll be honest, we're going to be running a little bit. We're going to go from Genesis 1 all the way up to Genesis 12. So some of this is going to be reading on your own, but start with me in Genesis 12. We're going to be specifically in verses 1 and 2. Give you a chance to get there. I'm Nick, by the way, for those of you that don't know. One of the leaders here at the Gathering Place. Genesis 12, 1 and 2. I'm going to go ahead and read it. It says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing.'" Let's pray real quick. Father, I just ask that your truth would go forth today, Lord. I ask that you would challenge us, that we would be stirred to action. Lord, I pray that this would not just be another Sunday where we come in and out and our lives are unchanged. I pray that the truth will be rightly divided here today and that lives will be changed as we walk out of here to further be a blessing and further your kingdom and the gospel in this place and in this city. In Jesus' name, amen. So I had a... Last week or two, nothing really close to me, but I've had a couple people and situations that I know of, a friend of mine whose dad passed away, I know my old high school football coach, his wife passed away. We have another person that my parents had known who the wife had passed away as well. And so nothing like super close to me, but a lot of these situations that kind of just, you know, the finality of life has been kind of presented the last few weeks. And as I was at one of the funerals, I'm sitting there and I began to think about, you know, they obviously, you guys know with funerals that, you know, you have people come who know you, who've had an impact in your life. And many times what they do is they'll bring up friends and family to talk about the person, right? They reflect upon the life. And basically what they're doing is they're summing up, you know, if we have these short years here on this earth, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, however many years that we're given, they basically, at your funeral, they sum up essentially what those years were lived for, right? Like, they basically give an account of what the person valued, the impact that they had. They speak upon the person, right? And there's a lot of things they can talk about. If any of you have ever been to funerals and listened to some of the things said, I mean, there's many things, right? Man, he had a great business career. He was really good athletically. He loved sports, man. He loved his family. All these different things, they kind of sum up and talk about the person and what they lived for, right? And I began to sit there, and I'm looking around, and I kind of began to take inventory of my life. You know, I mean, funerals kind of have a way of doing that to you, right? Like, you look around, and I go, man, who would be at my funeral? I mean, that sounds morbid, but, like, who would be there? How many people would be there? How many people did I impact, right? Because really, the people that come are saying, hey, you impacted my life in such a way that I want to remember you. And I began to think about that for my life. You know, I was listening to them talk about one of these people they were talking about, you know, his business career. And, you know, one of the people was a coworker. And I began to think, man, like, what would be said about my life? And it's a question that I kind of want to pose to you guys today is what would be said of your life? And it was honestly kind of, the finality of life was really imminent. It's like, here's someone who lived, you know, 60, 70 years, whatever it was. And, you know, I knew him growing up. You know, they were interacting. It was one of my friend's dad, whatever. And it was like, man, just like that, he's gone. And I began to think, like, how quickly this life comes and goes. And now we're talking about what the life was. Now we're reflecting upon what this life meant in this world. And again, I want to challenge you, like, what have we done with our lives? What are we doing with our lives? What would be said of you on that day? Would they say, man, he had a great business career, right? Like, man, this guy, he got to the top. Many people aspire, but he got there. Or, man, he made it athletically. He was in the NFL. He was in the NBA. This guy, he made it. Oh, he was a family man. He was a family man. The list goes on and on. You can fill in whatever. But for me, the inventory that I took was that, man, I want to be known for God. Like, I want it to be so that when people are reflecting upon however many years that I get, you can't talk about my life without talking about God in the same sentence, right? Like, you can't speak about, sum up, fill in the blank, Nick Fela, whoever, you can't sum up their life without including, hey, this guy, he made the name of God known with every breath that he had. He was exalting and glorifying the Father. He was not pursuing his own interests. It's like, no, you couldn't help but rub shoulders with the guy and hear about the name of God, to see the name of God, the characteristics of God come out and be exalted in his life. That's what I want to live for, right? And I mean, the reality is that your life is going to point to something. Your life is going to make a name of someone. It may be you. It may be your kids. It may be God. It's going to point to somebody. And the question that I have for you today is, who is your life pointing to? What name is your life exalting and shouting and creating, right? Is it shouting the achievements that you've had, the success that you've had? Or is it shouting what you did for the Lord? And listen, this desire, I think deep down, we all have this desire to exalt ourselves, right? Like, this is not, and this desire is not, like, new. We're going to look at today, like, this desire goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. Like, you see this, and this desire to want to be like God, to want to be like the gods, right? Like, we exalt ourselves. I was going to put a video up today, but anybody know who Conor McGregor is? Anybody? He's a fighter, yeah? Like, I didn't have the video because we're super simple and I can't figure out how to do it. But basically, like, this, it's an interview that he's having before a fight, and this guy is like, listen, the guy he's going against is like, hey, I'm a follower of Jesus, and this guy's pretty arrogant, and you know, I just live my life for Jesus, and you know, I think he'll get his, basically. And Conor McGregor goes, listen, I'm cool with Jesus. In fact, I'm cool with all the gods, because gods recognize gods. He makes this statement: gods recognize gods, as if he's a god. And like, listen, that's kind of like, oh yeah, that's bad, but we do this. Like, we want people to recognize us, right? We want our achievements to be made known, and it's the same thing. So if you have your Bibles, turn over to Genesis chapter 1, actually. And I'm not going to have specific verses, but I want you to kind of flip through, read some of the titles as we're going through this to kind of see the point that I'm making. But this goes all the way back to the book of Genesis, okay? You know, in Genesis 1, God's desire was to use man to be a blessing and to further his name and his kingdom, right? Like, he put all this into existence. He gave function and purpose to the land, to human beings, to say, look, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of God, and I want you to spread my name and be a blessing. And at the end of chapter 1, he makes this statement. He says, everything is very good. He's like, I did this and it was good. I did that and it was good. I did this and it was good. And then he looked on all of it and he said, you know what? This is very good. This is really good. And everything was in working order, right? Because it was all exalting and lifting up God's name. And then chapters 2, 3, and 4, things start to go a little sideways, right? Man begins to take matter into his own hands, specifically in the area of wanting to exalt and lift up themselves as God. You guys remember the story of Adam and Eve, right? The fall of man in chapter 2, 3, 4, and going forward, like, what does it say? Oh, where'd my Bible go? Why do I have this problem every time? It's like every time I'm teaching, I'm like, oh, okay. So I want to read this verse. Go to chapter 3, starting in verse 2, says, the woman said to the serpent, you may not eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil, right? He's pulling on this desire to be like God, to be exalted like God. And what happens? This pattern begins to form. And you're going to see this as you go all the way through really the whole Bible, but specifically through up to chapter 12. And for you note takers, the pattern is sin, okay? Specifically in the area of wanting to be like God, or wanting to exalt himself, themselves. So sin, mitigation of that sin, basically covering up of the sin, and then God having to have punishment for the sin. This is the pattern that begins to form, right? You see this in Adam and Eve. And it begins to repeat itself with increasing intensity. Adam and Eve, what happened? They sin. I want to be like God. I'm going to take of the fruit, right? All of a sudden, they're trying to mitigate the sin. God says, hey, where are you at? What are you doing? They're hiding. They're covering up their sin. And then God says, there has to be punishment for this. It's not very good anymore. And he punishes, right? Same thing in the next story. What's the next story? Cain and Abel. What do you see with Cain and Abel? You have Abel, the younger one, and in that culture, the older one, Cain, was the one who had the prominence. He was getting the inheritance. His name would go forth, right? But they both offer offerings to the Lord, and the Lord says, I like Abel's offering. Abel's offering is better. And Cain doesn't like that. Cain's like, no, I'm supposed to be the one. My name's supposed to be the one on your lips. And he kills Abel, right? And then what happens? You get some mitigation of the sin. Hey, it's kind of funny. If you read the chapter, God actually, as if God actually doesn't know, he says, hey, Cain, where's your brother Abel? And he goes, how am I supposed to know? What am I, his keeper? Like he has this kind of snarky response, but he's hiding his sin. He's covering up his sin. He's trying to mitigate the damages. And God says, you know what? No, Cain, I'm casting you out. I'm casting you out. And interestingly enough, where they end up settling, he names the city after his son. Again, he's trying to keep this name thing going forward. And then it just keeps getting worse, right? You see the whole sons of God and daughters of man and these different things, and the corruption keeps getting worse and worse. You get the flood. The flood happens. And then it leads up to chapter 11, where you get the Tower of Babel, right? And things just have gotten so wrong. People aren't even trying to mitigate the damages anymore. They're outright sinning. It's corrupt. And there's this interesting passage in chapter 11, verse 4. Turn there with me, okay? Chapter 11, verse 4. So basically, God gave the people on the earth specific instructions, and they're going against it. They're going far against it. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth. Right? That we may, did you catch it? We may make a name for ourselves. And God ends up punishing this. And then you get chapter 12. And what did chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 say? In chapter 11, you get this culmination where it's, let us make a name for ourselves. I'm going to make a name for myself. I'm going to pursue my interests, my achievements. God told me to do X, Y, and Z, but I want to do my own thing because I want my name to be lifted up. And God brings punishment for it. And then you get to chapter 12. Chapter 11, we make a name for ourselves. Let us make a name. Chapter 12 says what? You guys remember? And I will make your name great, the Lord says. I'll make of you a great nation. I will bless you. And I will make your name great. You see the mirroring? Chapter 11, we're going to make our name great. That didn't work out so well. Chapter 12, God says, no. I'm going to make your name great. For what purpose? So that you will be a blessing. So that you can be a blessing. Ultimately, their desire to exalt themselves and take matters in their own hands was and pursue their own aspirations and achievements was greater than their desire to follow the Creator. Right? Okay, come on. Take some inventory of yourselves here today. We have this same problem. How many times do we do this? And listen, here's my fear, okay? My fear is that we as individuals, and I'll even be honest, like we as a church culture in general, my fear is that we're doing this exact thing, whether we realize it or not. But we're making the same mistakes as the people in the first part of Genesis, that we're pursuing first and foremost the desire to exalt ourselves. The desire to be seen, the desire to be known for our achievements. Fill in the blank. Ask yourself, what is it that you're pursuing above all else? Are you pursuing your career? Again, not even bad things, career. You want your career to be known, family to be known, your name, your athletic achievements, whatever it is, your musical talent. Is that above your desire to lift and exalt the name of the Lord? Is that lifted above that desire? I think is two different sides of this, Cain. I want you to hear me out. Like, I've been convicted of this. So I don't want you to hear this as like, especially the second part is like, I'm going to put this. I'm going to jump to the second part, okay? We'll get to the individuals. But as a church culture, like, I want you to know our heart. Like, it's really tricky sometimes. You know, we're a church, right? A church that's in the name of God, okay? Churches by default, right, are in the name of God. But I feel like it's so easy to, under the guise of, hey, look what God is doing, still pursue the exaltation of the church or our name or the leader's name or whatever it is. Like, I'm just going to be completely honest. Like, I feel like this is like running rampant through the church today. Like I feel like people are so quick to tout, look at how many people we have, you know, how many satellite campuses. I mean, all these different things, right, that are going on. And we do it under the guise of like, look what God is doing. When in all reality, it's like we want to see our name be lifted high. Like, hey, look what I did. Look at this big thing that's going on over here, right? And it's a tricky, it's easy to fall into. Even as leaders here, like, it's easy to want to desire and fall into that. But I want you guys to know, like, our desire, our definition of success at this church is like, listen, we're not trying to be a mile wide and an inch deep. That's, like, not our desire. Like, we're perfectly fine with being an inch wide and a mile deep. Because success in our eyes is that the people who come in this place day in and day out, Sunday morning, you know, small groups, whatever it is that we believe that if you are growing and maturing as the body of Christ and going and being a blessing to the world, that is a win. That is the definition of success. And I'll be honest, like, that's a tough thing to fight because that's not super measurable, right? Like, your personal growth and development and going and reaching the world is not always super, you can't calculate it always. I don't know why I'm going on that. But my prayer for this church is that this would be a church that is not concerned with simply just growing in numbers. It's not concerned with simply just saying, I mean, numbers are good, don't get me wrong. Like, people coming to the faith, good thing. But not just growing to say, hey, look at how big we've become, right? I would rather have this group of people here grow in power in the Holy Spirit, moving out on a daily basis during the week and living it out for the gospel. That is a win for us. That is success. Because why? Because the name of God goes forth, not our name. The name of God is going forth and being spread throughout the city. And even as individuals, like, I want to ask you the question, what do you want your legacy to be? What do you want your legacy to be? When you come to that time, the moment of your life, and things end, and the funeral's happening, and they're going to recall your life, what is it that's going to be said of you? What is your legacy going to be? Are you going to be the one who said, hey, I want to make my name great? You may not outright say it, but your life is lived in such a way that the only thing they can talk about is your professional achievements or your family, things like that. Again, not bad things. Or when push comes to shove and people are gathered, are they going to say, man, this was a life well lived for the Lord. This was a life that impacted many other lives. This was a life that was constantly making the name of the Lord great. That was constantly speaking to God's goodness. That was going and being a blessing. Because that is success. I don't know about you, but like, that is the definition of success. You know, I asked you, what do you want your life to be known for? What name are you pointing to? Like, that is the answer, right? Genesis 12 tells us the answer. Living for God in such a manner that is so, quote unquote, radical, even like, we use this word radical, right? Like, radical's not in the Bible. Like, they just were, right? You know, like, people who lived in this way weren't like, oh man, they're radical. Like, that was just being a Christian. They just lived it out. God was their life. We do this thing where it's like, hey, I'm going to pursue my life, and God, why don't you come alongside and you can join me in what I'm doing? It's the same concept, right? I got all my aspirations. Why don't you come alongside? Like, no, Christianity, the Christian faith is, no, I'm surrendering my life. I'm pursuing my own thing here. I'm pursuing my own name. Christianity says, no. You surrender your life to the Lord. It's no longer yours. you now are just following after the Lord. It's fairly simple. We complicate it. It's like, just pray the prayer and then go to the Bible study and read, you know, make sure you get your 20 minutes a day, and that makes you a Christian. No, Christianity is pretty simple. Oh, you believe in God? Well, placing your faith in him means you follow him. You follow after him. And that when you do that, your life has impact. You are a blessing. You're a blessing to the people around you, which spreads God's kingdom and character, just like in Genesis 1. That's exactly why he said it was very good at that time, right? All right. Does this make any sense? I feel like I'm just hammering home the same point, but probably because we need to, right? I remember when I was down, when I was playing football down in Lincoln, at Nebraska. I don't say that like pridefully, but it's proving my point. Like you get down to Nebraska and it's like, I remember hearing about all these like spiritual giants in the faith on the team, right? Like there was all these guys like, oh, they're the big Christians. And I remember getting down there and I was disappointed, to be honest with you. Like I was coming off a time where I was like super excited in my faith. It's a good thing, right? We should always be like that. But I remember getting down there and just being disappointed. Like no one was just living it out. It was kind of just in name only. They were pursuing their own desires and wanted their name to be lifted up on the Nebraska football team. So people looked at them and said, oh, that's so-and-so who plays for Nebraska, right? And I remember just kind of being disappointed. And I was a scout team scrub, right? So I just got beat up during the week. Side note, I saw an Ndamukong Suh split one of my friend's head helmets in half. He was a bad dude. Anyway, okay, so. But like, I was just getting beat up on a week-to-week basis, and I began to realize, like, okay, the spring game was going to be my payoff, right? Like, the season was coming and going, and okay, yeah, I'm just kind of putting in my time now, but the spring game, that's the payoff. I'll get a taste of it, right? And I remember during the spring game, and I got you know, a decent amount of time to go in and play at the end, you know? But I remember walking off the field, you know, and there's a stadium full of people. It's the Nebraska football field, you know how it is at spring games. I remember walking off the field going, man, is this it? You know, like, so many of my friends were playing for the purpose of, they didn't like doing it. Yeah, they got a scholarship, but it was basically like, I want the fame, right? I want my name to be known. That was what kept them going. And I remember, like, that just wasn't at that time, that was not a motivator for me. And I remember walking off the field and being like, there's got to be more to this. There's got to be more. And it ended up, I had to take a hard look at what I was doing and why and where God had my life going, but it's so tricky. Like, no matter what area of life you're in, like, I can't be the only one who feels this way. Like, it is so easy to want to have the motivating factor be your accomplishments and your achievements and having people look. Let's take Facebook, for example, right? Like, Facebook is, like, basically 90% of this. Like, hey, look at my life, even though this isn't actually, like, an accurate representation of how my life is, right? But we've got it all together on Facebook, right? And I feel like it's like we want to be seen as having it all together, perfect, the things that we're doing. We want our name to be made known. And again, what kind of a life are you living? Are you living a life that exalts and glorifies the name of God? That when people come to your funeral, they say, you know what? It truly is a celebration of life, right? They call it a celebration of life these days. Like, we're celebrating a life that was lived for God. A life that was lived, impacting the kingdom of God. I mean, I think of Ty and Terry Schenzel. I bring this up a lot. But man, like, thousands of people at that funeral, because there's a life well lived, right? They gave their lives away and impacted so many people. So many people. Why? Because they weren't just all about their own achievements. They were first and foremost about God's business. And it cost them something many times. But they gave their lives away to impact the kingdom of God, to make his name known. And what happened in return? I mean, let's be honest. God made their name great for the purpose of being a blessing. Just like Genesis 12, right? So my question to you is this. Like, listen, maybe you've been living in this place like of exaltation of yourself. Maybe you've been, I'm not trying to even say like, are you a believer or not? I don't even want to go into that. I'm just saying like, hey, you may be living in here and saying, you know what? I've been pursuing my own thing first and foremost. I want people to look at the house that I got and go, yeah, I got it all together. I want people to look at my career and say, you know what? He's a successful dude. He's done it right. Or I want people to look at my musical ability and say, wow, yeah, that's good. Like, whatever it is. that supersedes your desire to exalt God's name. Maybe that's you in here, and I want to give you an opportunity. Like, I'm going to have two different things here that I want to challenge people with, but maybe that's you in here. You're saying, you know what? I've been living for that above all else, and I'm done with it. I want my life to be, for lack of a better term, worth something, right? Because all that stuff's going to fade away when it's gone. All that stuff goes. But I want my life to be lived in such a way that is worth something for the kingdom of God. I'm just going to challenge you right now. Like, if that's you, you're saying, yep, I've been pursuing this, but I'm done. I don't want to make my name great anymore. I want to make God's name great. I challenge you just to stand up, because I'd love to pray for you. I'd love to have people around you praying for you. Yeah. And listen, I'm going to make it awkward. I'm cool with silence. Listen, your name's not going to live on. Someone needs to hear that in here today. Like what you do in this life, all these accomplishments, give it a few years. No one's going to remember. Right? But what they will remember and what will live on is the impact that you had on the kingdom of God. God's name will live on, right? I'm going to give it just one more second, okay? If there's anybody else who says, you know what? I need to put God's name first. I want to be a blessing, right? All right, well, for those of you that are standing, if there's anybody kind of around them, I'd love to surround them. Get some people if you're in the area. Put a hand on a shoulder, and I just want to pray for him, okay? And this is not just me praying. You guys pray too as we go. Father, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you that you give us the opportunity, that you choose to make your name great in and through your people. And I pray for these people that have stood up, God, that yeah, Lord, I ask that you would not just empty of self, but fill with your Spirit, God. That your Spirit would be so full in these lives who say, I want to live life well. Like, first of all, hallelujah. Let me just celebrate those of you that stood up, like, that say, you know what? I haven't been living life super well, but I want to live well for God. Like, that's not an embarrassing thing. That's not a shameful thing to be standing up. Like, hallelujah. That's a celebration of you saying, I want God's name to go forth. So Lord, we say thank you for the humility of taking inventory and saying, here's where I'm at. And I ask now, God, that you would fill with your Holy Spirit these people who have stood up in even greater measure than before, that you would blow them away with your goodness, with your power, and that they would go and be a blessing, that your name would go forth, that they would simply be a vessel that you are moving through for the kingdom of God and your goodness and your fame to be made known. In Jesus' name, amen. Appreciate you guys who stood up. So the second thing I want to do is this, okay? This doesn't need to be a public thing, but I want to make a second challenge, okay? Because I feel like in our church culture today, it's very easy to kind of just come and go and do the church thing or whatever. But again, specifically with this group of people here, I want you to hear me out. This is not a, hey, I want you to stay around so we can have more people. But I want to challenge you with this. I truly believe if this is where God has called you to call home, especially in the months to come, and me and Jared and Mike and Connor have been talking about some things, but we're going to be putting some things in place better than we have before, I guess, coming towards the fall time, where we're going to give you, let's put it this way, if you're wanting to grow, you will have no excuse if you come to this church for not growing, okay? We're going to put some things in place that are going to help allow to facilitate and really challenge you and facilitate your growth as a believer in Christ. It's going to be pretty cool, and I'm excited about it because I believe God's going to do some pretty cool things through it. He kind of hit a little bit of a reset as the year turned here in January, and we kind of took some inventory of some things, and I think God's really ready to move. I'm not talking numerically or whatever. If that happens, great. But I'm talking like personal growth to impact a community. So I want to challenge you with this. Like, listen, don't just keep jumping around if that's the case. Like stick around. Dig your heels in. Get your elbows dirty. We're about ready to go for it, okay? And I would just, it's an exciting thing. And I would challenge you. Hang around. Get plugged in. Take the tools that we're giving you and use them and grow. Because I think if we have a group of people that does that, we're going to be powerful. I'm telling you, like, we will have a small but mighty army that God is going to use to change and affect lives. And it's funny, we talk about Valley, but like, we have people from all over the metro here. Like, that's the cool thing. It's like, I just had this vision the other day when we were talking, Jared and I were talking, and Mike, about some things of like, man, just people going back out into their different areas of the city, and this like small little podunk church in Valley is like reaching all these areas of the city because people are going into UP, into you know, all these different places, their workplaces, and are reaching with the kingdom of God because they've been trained and equipped to do so. That is a win. That's a win. Okay, so that's all I got. Cool. Announcements? Announcements. Ah, yes, the Moms Gathering. So this July, every Thursday in July, we're going to do kind of it's essentially a Moms Gathering. It's we're going to have childcare. It's from 9:30 to 11:30 at the Life House. It's basically just a good excuse for moms. Get together, drop your kids off, don't have to worry about chasing them around for 2 hours because you guys deserve it. So just come. It's a good a way for moms to get together. I think they're going to be doing a lot of different things. Yeah, it says mom stuff, whatever that looks like. Yes. No, Darlene. Come on. Listen. That's better for us because then we don't have to watch them in the child care. So I would encourage you, yes, please come. But it's an excuse for moms to get together. That's every Thursday in July. I believe it's just $25 for the month to help pay for the food and all that type of stuff. And that's it. And then family movie night, July 1st, we're going to have like the old school, like putting up the TV screen outdoor movie thing at the Life House, okay? We're going to be watching The Little Giants. Come on, that's a great movie. Someone's got to help me out with that. That's a great movie. Little Giants at 5:30. This is July 1st at the Life House. And then 7:30, we're watching The Kid. So two different movies. Feel free, come, go as much as you want. But we'll be doing that and just hanging out. I think that's all we got. Cool. Other than that, just Thursday nights at the Life House, we do prayer, praying over people. If you ever need prayer, we've just had some cool things going on as we allot time for on Thursday nights. That's at the Life House from 7 to 8. If you ever need prayer or know somebody who needs prayer, send them our way. We'll be there every Thursday, all right? Why don't you stand up? Sorry it took you a little long. Father, we thank you for this day. We ask that you would send us, use us, and that we would grow as a community of people together and as a family to powerfully impact your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thanks, guys.